Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, performance conversations don't lead to career conversations. The questions that this cast answers are, what should I say when my directs want to talk about their careers? How are career and performance conversations connected? Can I talk about careers during performance conversations?
Folks, I've mentioned it before, I'm going to mention it again. Recently, we increased the value of our client trainings by adding more benefits to the attendees' access to our products and services. Anybody who attends a client event now receive enterprise access, which grants them the value of a personal license, except for executive tools. So access to manager tools and career tools and the show notes and so on makes it easier for you to justify coming to the conference because you essentially get a $200 plus value. And that includes interviewing series and the like, and all of that total is $500 to $600 worth of stuff. If you'd like to book a training with the new benefits, please reach out to Maggie at managertools.com. Hope to see you at one of them.
So, Kate, I think this one came out of a conversation that Mark and I recently had. As it comes up in our conferences, it's not uncommon that a managers are, I want to say, hesitant to give feedback. Specifically, the example I can think of easiest off the top of my head is that they don't want to give a bunch of positive feedback to a really low performer. Mm-hmm. And then that really low performer want a raise or a promotion or think they're ready for something that they're clearly not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was answering the question just recently. Mark and I were chatting about it. And it's true, though, for many of us, right? Some directs want to make every performance conversation about their careers. And we agree. I mean, the two are related, but only in kind, not in scope, not in scale. One does not necessarily beget the other.
Absolutely. And so today we're going to talk about how performance conversations don't beget career conversations, and career conversations do include performance conversations. It's funny that you guys were just talking about this. When I saw the notes for this cast, I thought, wow, this is pretty timely. It does seem like it's been coming up a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. It's been coming up a lot always, Kate. Yeah. I think it's a constant. It's a constant.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenarios in which this comes into play, and you may have experienced it in, you know, many different versions. And the most important thing that we're going to talk about in terms of this first part is that just because you're having a performance conversation doesn't mean that it has to be a career conversation. Let's say that one of your directs leaves out important data, which you specifically asked them to include in a presentation that they made. This leaving out of the data led to a delay in the decision process from your boss and the powers that be in the division. An hour later, you're on the Zoom call with them and some other people on the team, and you ask him to stick around afterwards so you can have a chat. Once everyone else is gone, you say, "Caleb, can I give you some feedback?" He says, "Yes." You say, "When you leave out the data about year-over-year spending that I asked for, we don't get the decisions we need to move forward, and our initiative is delayed. Can you do better next time we're making a big presentation with something like that?" And Caleb says, "Yep, you're right. I'm sorry, I will. How is this going to affect my chances at a promotion?"
Right. That's the thing, right? What do you say? What do you say? Because you can't say no. I mean, because all of performance affects promotions.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're unable to say no, that means that the totally truthful answer is yes, which you can't say because Caleb's going to mope around the office for weeks.
Or pout or panic or...
Exactly. Or panic. Or does this mean I'm going to be fired? Like, what does this mean? It's a massive deal to him. And so now you're on the horns of a dilemma, as they say.
Yeah. So let's look at the situation more deeply. What if Caleb's performance had been masterful, perfect? Your boss has approved the unusual budget changes. You give Caleb positive feedback. He says, "Thanks, boss. This helps my promotion opportunity, right?"
Yeah. And again, same situation. You can't say no, because that's not really entirely accurate. I mean, it does help. But to say yes is also misleading because promotions are way more complex than a single incident. Or, looked at differently, if you say yes to the question after good feedback, you're basically admitting that every negative feedback instance is a detractor from someone's career.
Maybe that's technically accurate.
Technically.
And that would lead to unhelpful stress. Again, right, puts them in a place of stress, of worry, of concern. And the team isn't going to win by avoiding mistakes, which is the position that will put people in, which sometimes causes people to not take action.
Mm-hmm. Analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, they come to you with their problems. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. What do I do, boss? None of us ever like. But they don't want to make mistakes because if every one of the mistakes I make is going to negatively impact my career, I'm not going to think for myself, Kate. Just tell me what to do.
Right.
I'll do the right things.
Can't afford to take any risks if every single thing contributes. And for being honest, it kind of is true that all of the little things contribute. I mean, I don't know that any of us are really good enough at performance reviews for all of the little things to really contribute or detract from promotions and things like that. And you put yourself in a position where we are in a position, we didn't put ourselves there, but we are in a position where we can't win. And that's the clue that we need to realize the key principle here. We really shouldn't be playing this game in the first place.
Right.
We have to remember, internalize, and teach our teams that feedback is about making small corrections and small encouragement. It's about the daily things that keep us on track.
Right.
And those adjustments and the way we keep the wheels on the road.
Mm-hmm.
If you could watch everything your directs do, which we can't since we're not micromanagers,
right,
there would be thousands of feedback moments every week.
Yeah. Thousands upon thousands of them.
They do stuff every single day, every single minute that they're their desks.
Agreed.
They're doing stuff that could be a place for feedback. One or two instances of feedback are just grains of sand, right? It's such a small thing.
Right.
In terms of their overall—
A lot of behaviors.
Right, exactly. Their overall, the aggregate of their behaviors.
Right. And the thing is, unfortunately, directs don't put this together.
Mm-hmm.
That is, rest assured, any direct you have thinks, especially of negative feedback, that it's meaningful. It's like as if you are aware of all of the thousands of behaviors they've engaged in, and you, for whatever reason, specifically chose this one of thousands of behaviors because this one was somehow ultra important to you compared to all of the other ones, which were somehow completely unimportant, right? And the reason for it, I mean, is virtually all of your direct's previous managers have starved them for feedback. We actually have a podcast coming up relatively shortly in the can called The Rule of Previous Bosses. And you might think, how can I be certain? I mean, how can I be completely certain that my directs are starved of feedback? Well, it's simple.
Weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. How much feedback are you getting? Haven't virtually all of your previous bosses waited until there was a problem that's become an issue about which you need to have a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're assuming, based on all of their past experience, specifically with negative feedback, that this is the make it or break it moment.
Right. Because it's more singular to them, because their experience tells them that this is something that doesn't happen often. And if it's something that doesn't happen often, then it stands out. It's an outlier. It's something that causes them to feel that this is a really big deal because their experience tells them that's true. And it really makes their experience with negative feedback about significant instances, this previous
experience. The past experience, totally.
And so when you start giving feedback, they overreact.
Yes.
Very often. Their previous boss left them in the dark and then used grave tones when they did suggest corrections.
Yeah.
And because of this experience, your directs are going to assume for a while that every negative feedback moment is a career influencing moment. Again, their previous experience tells them that this is true. It's simply a function of all of their past experience says, oh, wow, it's ill-informed, right. It's misguided, and it's totally understandable. Mm-hmm. They're doing what makes, yeah, to them, that makes sense because that's been their experience in the past. And
exactly.
You know, now that you're changing their environment by giving them all this feedback, they are going to have some questions. They're going to have some thoughts around it. And especially younger directs to people who are younger in their career, they don't understand everything that goes into all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They think of it as, you know, just this discrete instance of a promotion. And it leads them to want to have these career conversations. And so when they want to have a career conversation, don't do it.
No.
It's quite simple. I love when the suggestion is, you know, not is less work. Don't do it. Performance conversations do not result mm-hmm. in career conversations unless we allow them to.
Right, unless we allow them to.
And we don't exactly. want to do that. We're going to look at the big picture. We're going to think about the big picture. And when we have these performance conversations, we're going to keep them as performance conversations rather than career conversations.
Right, exactly. We can't be surprised that our directs may bring it up. And when someone mentions the career implications of any of the tiny grains of sand pieces of feedback, positive or negative, that you're giving, it's instead of time for a career conversation, it's time for some education.
A learning opportunity, if you will.
A learning opportunity. Exactly. Help them understand. So what that might sound like is, to be honest, now is not the time for that. Don't worry about it right now. No single feedback instance, positive or negative, really matters that much in your career. Don't worry. I'll explain more in our next one-on-one. Because chances are, of all of the times you're giving feedback, not all of them are in the one-on-one. You're giving more feedback than that. Now, if you happen to, in this case, already currently be in your one-on-one, you wouldn't say, I'll explain more in our next one-on-one. We're currently already here.
When it's time for the one-on-one conversation, whether you're there already or if you have to delay it a little bit, this is what you can say. Let's talk about that feedback I gave you and your comment about career impact. There's a general rule that performance communications, like feedback, don't lead to career conversations. There are both tactical and strategic reasons for this. The tactical reason is that career conversations would add time to every performance communication. Bosses would then start shying away from giving feedback for fear of having to figure out the larger narrative every single time. Mm-hmm. An example, the plant manager who has a quality problem for 5 minutes can't go around telling everyone the impact on quarterly productivity and profit every single time it happens. From a strategic perspective, careers are much more complicated than just you and I and our perspectives. Yes, your performance is the single biggest contributor, but your performance happens in the context of the department's performance and the company or organization's performance. And the factors that are considered in career progression often change based on the needs of the organization and the society in which we serve. Plus, senior people aren't generally evaluating career moves on a daily, weekly, or even monthly basis. Quarterly is perhaps not unusual, and annually is pretty normal. So it doesn't make sense for us to be having career conversations or even for me to make comments about your career when I give you feedback, which is my way of having performance conversations. The place for those conversations are here in our one-on-ones on a periodic basis.
Exactly. And that's how that conversation, that helping our directs understand, learn, remember, it's kind of part of our job, right? Educating mm-hmm. them. They just know less than us, period. It's an assumption. That's why we're the manager. So conversation or a conversation like that can help you to de-link feedback from the pesky career questions, conversations they'll attempt to have in response to the feedback. They're going to throw it at you. Don't swing at the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Separate those two things. And to Sarah's point, we are educating them. I mean, that's part of what we're doing as their manager. And I can't imagine if every single instance of feedback had to do with a career, if that was a career conversation, a performance conversation, a future conversation. I mean, it is a future conversation, right? In that the behavior that they're engaging in, hopefully next time in the future, will be either matching that stellar performance or changed a little bit. And man, can you imagine having to have that career conversation every single time?
I know.
Yeah. And I would shy away from it immediately because yeah. I would think to myself, gosh, they're going to ask about this and about that. And for those of you, if you're new or if you're a younger manager, or even if you're not a manager and you're listening, I want to say machinations, but that's not right. It has the wrong connotation. The behind the scenes work, the politics, the preparation, the understanding, and just all of the effort that goes into whether or not someone gets a promotion or a change in compensation is huge.
Right.
It's huge. I mean, it takes, you know, what I would kind of describe as like roundtable discussions. And then there's budget. I mean, it's just the stuff involved is so big. And if we were to focus on that every single time somebody did or didn't do their job well, suddenly you would be paralyzed as the manager.
Oh, yeah, right? Totally. You'd be totally. You have no time.
Just like frozen because it's an entire set of parameters and inputs that are so different from the things that we focus on a daily basis. And it's not a vacuum either, right?
Right.
Like, Caleb's not the only person who did well or poorly this
week. Right, exactly.
And there's
not everyone's going to get promoted either, right. Caleb. So that's the thing.
Calm down, Caleb.
There's more than that. There's more than that.
Got some horse trading to do.
Folks, coming up October 5th and 6th, we have a Dallas Texan in person Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. We try to find little islands where restrictions and so on are light enough that we can deliver effective training. And Dallas is a place we can do it. We recently did one in Las Vegas. We're doing one in Silicon Valley this week as I record this ad, a few weeks before the Dallas event. So Dallas, Texas, Effective Manager on October 5th and Effective Communicator on October 6th. Y'all come.
We just finished talking then about the fact that performance conversations do not equate to career conversations. Now, though, let's talk about the fact that career conversations do include performance conversations.
Yeah.
All that's not to say about career and performance conversations that the two don't meet, right? We just finished talking about performance conversations don't equal career. That doesn't mean they never relate to one another. They totally do. They absolutely meet when there are career conversations at play. Mm-hmm. Our periodic career conversations are absolutely, in part, built on our direct performance, along with a lot of other stuff too.
Right. As we were just discussing, there's all kinds of stuff that goes into who's going to get promoted. And so, I mean, so much of what we talk about now is colored by the pandemic, right?
Yeah,
and
totally.
Just, hey, am I going to get promoted this year because I did really good on that presentation? Well, Caleb, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody's getting promoted.
Caleb, poor Caleb.
Poor Caleb's having a rough day. A truly effective career conversation that goes into performance, which,
yeah,
they should, obviously. We should touch on that. Doesn't go into detail or shouldn't go into detail about individual feedback discussions. Again, think about the process through which you, because it is time, y'all. I mean, I don't know how we got here. It's September 16th when we're recording this. It's time for performance review stuff.
So yeah, totally.
If you're a company, if you're on it's a pretty standard cycle of end of the year performance reviews, you should be starting now. We talk about performance reviews and how to get there. And if you've done it in the past couple of years, you probably realize that there's stuff you forget, right? When think back to March or February and what went on then, there are things that come up that you've forgotten when you go back and kind of dig a little bit. So the performance that we're looking at comes into play, but in larger pieces, right?
Right.
And it's kind of like, of all the things that they did, they get stacked up as opposed to like, oh, there was this one email that didn't go well.
Exactly. Going back to your analogy, right? when you talk about the beach that you're standing on,
mm-hmm.
you don't verbalize it by describing a few grains of sand.
Right.
It's more than that. Just like career conversations are much more than the granular pieces of individual feedback that someone received through the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And are instead much more about themes and patterns, more so than they are about instances.
Right.
An effective manager spends time before, to Kate's point, I think she was kind of getting there.
Yeah.
Before this career conversation, unlike we do with feedback. Feedback's something we can do real quick. With a career conversation, you have to sit down and you have to think about patterns and you have to think about themes and you have to decide what of the themes that you can identify are worthy of even bringing up in a discussion such as this, because a lot of things happen through the year, thousands upon thousands of behaviors.
And some of them contextually do contribute to the forward motion of someone's career, and some of them don't. And that's
right.
Like the feedback that you're giving contributes on a daily basis to things that are happening, because feedback is about smaller instances. But when we think about career conversations, there's some things we focus on, some things we don't. Some stuff gets left on the side,
totally,
depending on which path you're taking and which way you're going. And so it is very much true that we're looking at the bigger picture when we're having career conversations, and we're considering larger forces during those career conversations, which means to some degree, you and your direct's role will really only be the starting point for this discussion. And
mm-hmm. Totally.
It also creates a problem. Your direct likely does not understand that.
Mm-mm.
They have no idea that you don't have as much purview over their careers as they think that you do. I mean, they think of you as the person who's in charge of their career, when in fact, again, if you're listening, you're in charge of your career, not
right.
your boss. And so hopefully we're dispelling that idea. In fact, I'd even guess that most directs of manager tools managers, and virtually all directs of frontline manager tools managers, vastly overrate the influence of their bosses on their careers.
Yeah.
People, they think, again, especially when you're young in your career, people think, your directs think that you're responsible for their career and that you're driving it, and it's something that you're going to be, you know, influencing. And okay, to some extent, that's true. No, in no way as much as they believe it to be.
Right. Yeah. It's not like I single-handedly can say, oh, my direct is getting promoted this year. I mean, there's people to consult. There's other things to do. I mean, I can want that all I want, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I'm just one of the pieces of this engine.
Yeah. And this doesn't even bring into play their complete lack of understanding of the fluidity of the situation, the lack of process and controls within virtually every company with which we're, you know, every company that we know about. There's an assumption that those conversations are going to happen at the end of the year or whatever the review cycle is. And sometimes they don't happen on time or at all. Mm-hmm.
Right. Or they happen poorly. I mean, because the manager doesn't have the information, because they probably don't do one-on-ones to do a sufficient review, or they don't know what kind of information to collect, or they haven't been giving feedback. I mean, there's so many variables that leave it much less up to the manager than directs tend to think that it is.
I think too, if you're in an organization with HR, bear in mind that there is a gap, a huge gap, between what the manager knows about a direct's performance and what HR knows. And very often, maybe not as much for a manager tools manager, and very often, a lot of managers let HR drive that process,
absolutely,
that conversation. When are we going to have it? How does it look? And HR has a lot more control over it than you would think in a lot of cases. And so, again, your directs don't understand this, and it makes it harder for you. So if we bring all this together, right, if we synthesize all this, when we say career conversations include performance conversations, we don't mean rehashing feedback instances.
Right, exactly.
Too small, right? It's like too low level. Right. It's like, how many emails did you send on the project? Too low level, not part of what we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we mean that solid career conversations draw from the direct's performance in a largely thematic way.
Mm-hmm.
A thematic way that takes preparation.
Absolutely.
That takes planning, that verifies and looks at and reviews themes in performance, not individual pieces of behavior.
Right. Forward-looking conversations, discussions, initiatives like this one require an overall view of the past rather than a focus on how emails are written or what was included in presentations or whether or not the right people were communicated to.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. So at the end of the day, as you know, we suggest that you don't take the bait when your direct wants to discuss their career after positive or negative feedback. They don't realize it. They don't know it. We can't blame them for not knowing that information. It's not the time. Performance conversations don't beget career conversations. On the other hand, though, I mean, you can't avoid talking about performance when it's time to have a career conversation, but that's a much more thematic, not atomic. It's like the beach, not the grains of sand.
Mm-hmm. Performance may be the building block of careers, but you can't build a house with just one brick.
Yeah, you can. Or 10 bricks. I mean, it takes a lot of bricks to build a house. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, everyone. We'll be back next week with a new topic.